Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what I believe to be the top 3 issues of this hour, of this day, from a biblical worldview. Number 1, the Hurricane Helene, the storms, the aftermath, the death, the destruction. I'm looking at the headline. Hurricane Helene kills at least 90. This has been updated. It's 93 now, and they say in Asheville area, in that general portion of the foothills of northeast Tennessee and in North Carolina, that there's still people that are missing, and there will be hundreds, perhaps more, that will have lost their lives. But this article reads, Hurricane Helene kills at least 90, and U.S. homes and memories totally washed away. The storm's winds, rains, and storm surge killed at least 90 people in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, and Virginia, according to the Reuters tally and state and local officials. Officials feared more bodies will be discovered. With cell phone towers down, the region, hundreds of people had yet to make contact with loved ones that were listed as being unaccounted for. Damages estimate range between $15 billion to $100 billion. Insurers, according to the insurers, and forecasters said over the weekend, as water systems, communication systems, critical transportation systems are totally affected. The article goes on to say, all the deaths were in the county of Buncombe County, that is North Carolina, that's Asheville specifically, where 30 people have died. The sheriff there told a video conference and the reporters asking questions. And ladies and gentlemen, there are no place close to getting the roads open, the utilities back up and running. We're very fortunate right in this immediate area. Our power went down. I think we had about 5 or 6 hours of power that was out, some a little longer than that under the JEA plan and what was done. Some still in South Georgia, still without power. Some have said it'd be a couple of weeks, but in the North Carolina area and the northeast portion of Tennessee, some of those may be without power for weeks. And ladies and gentlemen, because of the small bridges and the small roads. And I know in northeast Tennessee, and talked with our son Greg that lives in the, as he called it, the southern tip of heaven, and cemented the back roads, side roads, etc., with the small bridges. Just as he started to leave, he was at his at church on Friday afternoon, started to leave to head for home, and found that the route that he normally would take was closed because of a bridge being out. He circled back, went another route, circled back, went another, 4 or 5 times trying to find a route to get home. And finally, as he crossed over the bridge on, I believe it's highway called Highway 107, has a local name to it, he crossed the bridge, and he had sent us pictures of the bridge at about, I believe it was about 6:08. on Friday afternoon. And at 6:30, that same bridge, after he had arrived home, that same bridge completely 100% collapsed into the waters. That's the danger that's taking place in that part of our nation. And that's the condition there. And ladies and gentlemen, it won't be resolved overnight. But my question is, as we see these national catastrophic events, where we see fires and drought on one end of the country, the other end of the country, where we've got floods and waters that's just wiping cities and towns and hamlets out completely, what should we do? How should we view it? What should be our take on that? I believe we need to recognize that God's at work. And I believe we need to recognize, in my most humble opinion, the reason that God's at work, and that is to get our attention as a nation, understanding that God's not silent, God's not sick, God's not on vacation, God's not dead. He's still in total control. So how will we respond? In the book of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter and the 10th verse, there's a question that Ezekiel asks, is how should we then live? And based on what we're seeing and hearing today, how should we then live? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe, as I said earlier, that God is at work. God's trying to get our attention. Will we hear God? Will we hear from God? Will we respond to Him according to that which God wants us to do? Or will it stiffen our necks? Go to the book of the Revelation, and you find during the days of the tribulation, chapter 6 through chapter 18 in the book of the Revelation, and you'll find that, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's in the 6th chapter, the 9th chapter, and going to the 12th chapter, so many times when in the days of the tribulation after the church is raptured out, when God's wrath, thumos, the white hot anger of God, is poured out on a Christ rejecting, God hating, Bible denying society, rather than looking to God and repenting, they will shake their fist at God and curse God. You think that's impossible? Study the scripture. That's the condition of man in this old world after the church is raptured out. I believe we're progressively leading into what we will see after the church is raptured out, where there will be a hardness of the heart and a rejection of God, a complete rejection and Bible denying. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we need to consider just how this hurricane is going to impact our elections. We've got about, 30 days, 35 days before the election? Listen carefully. Ponder it. I'd love to have your response. 904-831-0917. Love to hear your response. What are your thoughts? 904-831-0917. Will this and the future hurricanes and the wiping out of cities, towns, and areas, travel being shut down, will this hurt, harm, will it devastate the election? Will it cause the election to be bent toward Kamala Harris or Donald J. Trump? How will this hurricane, the weather conditions, the devastation, the death, the dying, the missing, how will this affect the elections? 904-831-0917. I believe it's going to have a negative, my opinion, a negative impact on the election. I believe this is going to be part and parcel of the rationale behind the federal government and many state governments saying we need to have mail-in ballots. We need to have the drop boxes because, after all, a bridge is out down the street there. We can't get across it. By the way, when we talk about a bridge being out, some of the bridges out that I'm familiar with personally up in Northeast Tennessee, they won't be built back overnight. It will not be, so we'll have a temporary bridge up before election time. It means that many people will not be able to traverse, get in and out of their communities to be able to go and vote unless they take extraneous major efforts to do so. So is this going to restrain the efforts of the conservatives? Will this cause Christians to sit at home? Will this cause conservatives to simply sit on the hands and say, I'm not going to go to drop my ballot off or to put it in the drop box or to go and vote in person? I don't know. But I'm concerned about that, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, people with no homes and no businesses, all is gone. Family members dead or missing. Will this cause people to just simply not vote? Listen, in the total spectrum of things, when you analyze it, if it's a matter of having food, clothing, and shelter, if it's a matter of getting water for the next day, if it's a matter of having electricity or no electricity, if it's a matter of trying to find a place to lay your head, is that more important than going to vote? That's the balance that will have to be taken in the next 30, 35 days in the state of Florida, the state of Virginia, state of Tennessee, the state of North Carolina in particular, North Carolina and Tennessee in particular got hit the hardest. when it's the aftermath by the floods. So, ladies and gentlemen, how would it affect us? What will we as a people do? Will we look at it on the basis, regardless of rain, sleet, or snow, I'm going to vote? But if you can't get out, if you can't get there, how do you vote? That's the question. Remember, this election will determine the destiny of America. Will we have a communist nation or a constitutional republic? It can't be both. It'll be one or the other. Because if communist Kamala goes into office, we've had it as a constitutional republic. It's gone. But we have Lisa on the line. Lisa, go over the question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. I believe that the American people will do whatever it takes to vote. I am fully convinced that we have woken up and that we understand that it is do or die as a nation, and people will rally. Like I heard your son the other day, Friday, people will rally and do good and make sure that their votes get to the ballot boxes and count. I have a concern about our current mayor, Donna Deegan, using our emergency fund to feed the budget that was just passed by the city council. And I think this incident, this tragic incident, is a good understanding of why we are not to use the emergency fund for things that are just not emergent.
Lisa, you're exactly right. Yes, and one of the things that you're touching on is a real, how would you say, trickle-down issue that we need to recognize. Right now, for example, our oil reserves, emergency oil reserves in America, mm-hmm. that's designed and set up and set aside by those leaders in yesteryear, designed and set mm-hmm. up so that there's a national emergency, a battle, a war takes place, we've got reserve oil to go to. That's down now almost two-thirds under the Harris-Biden administration, using that to, in a fake fashion, try to keep prices of gasoline at the pump down so that they will be able to be reelected. That is the problem. Mm-hmm. And we'll find across America now, because of the hurricane going through, those in the blue cities, the blue states, will get federal dollars, federal funds, and they will use it as kind of a slush fund, as you said, to utilize in the budget that Donna Deegan just authorized. I'm against it, and yet we made the decision in the election just recently passed in the the city of Jacksonville. We decided that we'd put a loose like lost liberal at the helm of our city. And I don't believe we've seen the end of it, because my most humble opinion, if the CDC, the FDA says that there's a pathogen out there in the air someplace, I believe our present mayor would be one of the first ones to want to lock the city down, demand that everybody put a mask on, and I'm fearful of where we're headed in our city as a result of that. So it demands our prayer, our concern, our interest, and as you've said, and I pray that you're right, that we will say, it doesn't matter what's happened, I'm going to walk, I'm going to run, I'm going to fly, I'm going to drive, whatever it takes to get to the polls and cast my ballot. Our nation's destiny is dependent upon people going to the ballot box and voting, especially with conservatives and Christians. It deserves our prayer, Lisa.
President Donald Trump says, make it too big to rig. We got to make it too big to rig.
Amen. You're exactly right. Thank you for those comments, Lisa, and God bless you.
Thank you. Keep looking up.
Our redemption draweth now. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We've witnessed the devastation of one hurricane. Others are on the way. How will we respond? What shall we do? How shall we then live? Will we abandon our duty, our responsibility, and our privilege to vote and make sure? The scripture says in the biblical text in 1 Timothy that we need to pray for those that are in leadership, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. That means we need to pray, we need to be involved, that we might live. How do we live a quiet and peaceable life? We pray for the leadership, but listen, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to pray and say, God, remove anybody, any leader that's not going to stand for you and for your word, and place in office only those that will honor you, honor our Constitution, honor your word, and allow you to bless our nation as a constitutional republic. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think? What are your thoughts in relationship to it? Let me read a little further. ladies and gentlemen, because if Harris goes in office, we can kiss it goodbye as a constitutional republic. This article headline again, History of Kamala Harris's Family. Brown goes in talking about following her graduation from college, Harris returned to California and subsequently became the mistress of the 60-year-old married Speaker of the House, Willie Brown. And it was Brown, ladies and gentlemen, that promulgated her into different areas of office. Brown was elected as mayor of San Francisco and strongly endorsed Harris's Marxist political philosophy. He guided Harris's political Marxist philosophy to rise in California politics, leading her election as California's Attorney General. Willie Brown Jr. was well known, a longtime communist sympathizer. Willie Brown Jr. was initially elected to the public office with substantial help by the Communist Party USA. Today, Willie Brown is widely regarded as one of the Chinese Communist Party's best friends in the San Francisco Bay Area. While serving as San Francisco's district attorney, Kamala Harris mentored a young San Francisco radical Maoist activist named Simon, who was a member of the Storm Revolutionary Movement. Simon currently chairs the Bay Rapid Transit Area, that's BART, B-A-R-T-A, board. Simon has always been close friends with the founder of Black Lives Matter Marxist domestic terrorist Alicia Garcia. Goes on to talk about the other communist leaders in that with them is Van Jones. Kamala Harris is still closely associated with the Maoist Simon and Marxist Alicia Garcia that is in the Black Lives Matter. Harris' husband, Doug Imhoff, works for the law firm DLP Piper, who boasts nearly 30 years of experience in Communist Chinese Party with over 140 lawyers dedicated to its Communist Chinese Investment Services branch. He has just appointed professor at Yale. He was just appointed as professor at Yale School Future Lawyer to the fine points of communism. When she was elected to the U.S. Senate, Kamala Harris appointed a pro-communist Senate Chief of Staff, Karine Jean-Pierre. Jean-Pierre was active with the New York-based Haiti Support Group. The organization worked closely with the pro-communist Chinese Party, Communist North Korea workers, and the party supported, and it goes on to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, Kamala Harris is a socialist, Marxist, communist, however you want to slice it, whatever you want to say. And she keeps saying that she's not changed her roots, she's not changed her policies, she's not changed her ideas, though she's a flip-flop on everything. She still says she still has the same values as the way she is. Yes, she does. And it's the communist, socialist, Marxist values that if she goes into office, ladies and gentlemen, America's constitutional republic is gone forever. So it behooves us, ladies and gentlemen, to recognize that regardless of what we see taking place, we need to keep our eyes on the focus that today says that we've got about 30-plus days before election on November the 5th. That election is the most important election that America has ever faced in the history of the United States of America. And ladies and gentlemen, we can't have a constitutional republic and a socialist, Marxist, communist party for our nation. It'll be one or the other. And ladies and gentlemen, abortion on demand is what is being pushed by Kamala Harris, and that is the position that she will take. I am looking at not just the fact that Kamala Harris will push abortion on demand as a federal law. She's wanting to get rid of the filibuster in the Senate. If she gets rid of the filibuster, where it requires 61 votes, and it goes back to just simply the majority plus one, that is 51 votes, she can push through any legislation she wants. If she controls the Oval Office, if she's elected, and controls the Senate, anything that she says she wants to do, we will turn America to communist, socialist, Marxist, governmental, if you please, powers overnight. Here's the thought. If we have Kamala Harris in, we have no freedom of speech. John Kerry, you might remember him, John Kerry tells World Economic Forum, that is the WEF, our First Amendment stands as a major block against hammering disinformation out of existence. This was a statement he made on the 29th of September. Last week, the World Economic Forum panel of green energy investing in sustainable development, the former U.S. Senator and Biden administration climate control freak, John Kerry, correctly identified the First Amendment as a major blockade preventing the government from halting the spread of disinformation. Ladies and gentlemen, when the government gets into position that it decides what is information, what is disinformation, what is misinformation, and controls it, we have no First Amendment rights. We have no freedom of speech. He goes on to say, John Kerry, you know, there's a lot of discussion now about how to curb those entities, talking about the social platforms, in order to guarantee that you're going to have some accountability about information. They're putting out disinformation. They, speaking of we, the conservatives and Christians, our First Amendment stands as a major block to be able to just say, you know, hammer out our existence. So what we need to win the ground, John Kerry speaking, win the right to govern, hopefully winning enough votes that we're free and able to implement changes about the speech, freedom of speech. I think democracies are very challenged right now and have not proven that they can go fast enough, big enough, deal with the challenge that they're facing. And to me, that is part of this election is all about. We will break the fever of free speech in America. Ladies and gentlemen, he's saying we need to block the freedom of speech. We need to destroy our First Amendment rights. So, ladies and gentlemen, the problem is if we face today, as we face today with this election looming, if Kamala Harris goes in, we have no freedom of speech. Abortion is on demand to murder the baby in the womb right up to and including the moment of birth. I'm looking at a headline, and then we'll take our next caller. NFL legend Tony Dungy uses the Bible to fact-check Kamala Harris' claims. What faith are you talking about? Tony Dungy asked. The famed football coach Tony Dungy recently delivered a pointed response to Vice President Kamala Harris after the Democratic presidential nominee again implored people of faith to support her abortion rights. One does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree. The government and certainly Donald Trump should not be telling a woman what to do with her body, Harris said. But Dungy, who has coached both the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Indianapolis Colts, has been an outspoken pro-life activist with some questions. Dear VP Harris, I hear you make your statement all the time. Exactly what faith are you talking about when you talk about killing a baby, when you talk about supporting abortion? Dungy continued, are you talking about the Christian faith that says that babies are made in the image of God, that God places them in the womb, Jeremiah 1:5, and that we should take life very seriously? Are you talking about the faith that some nebulous general faith that says that we're good enough to go with whatever we're talking about, end quote? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize what's looming before us, not just the weather, not just the storms, but we have looming before us, ladies and gentlemen, an end to our constitutional republic, lest we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. And as Christians and conservatives, we must vote. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, thank you for taking my call. And let me just say this. I'm like you. I like only 11 more birthdays being 100. But Let's go back to the United States in July the 4th, 1776. By the 5th of that month, we entered into a political roller coaster. We have had ups and downs, thrills and sights, and this is the deepest decline from God that we have ever been in.
Mm-hmm. You're
and
right.
I'm just
Absolutely.
Wondering, if we don't vote and try to redeem our country, God only knows what's happening to us. He's judging the United States and the American people, and especially his people. I like that, 2 Chronicles 2:7-14.
Yes, absolutely. That's a key that we need to remember, not forget, and cling on to that each and every day, asking God to divinely intervene. And another thing, and I'll touch on this and get your response to it. Headline, Hezbollah military leadership nearly wiped out by Israel. subheading. Officials in West Jerusalem shared a list of more than a dozen top commanders who have been killed in recent weeks. Nearly all of Hezbollah's military leaders have been eliminated in recent Israeli strikes, officials in West Jerusalem have claimed. After the group's leader saw Nasrallah was killed in the bombardment of the compound in Beirut. The Israeli foreign minister released a diagram, what is said to was Hezbollah's military chain of command, etc., etc. So, going a little different direction, but still with the total subject of today, looking at three major things that I believe Christian conservatives need to be faced with and come to reality with, not just the hurricanes, not just the bad weather, not just the destruction of property, not just the fact that we are looking at a communist that's running for president, but how does it play into what we see taking place in the Middle East? Are we witnessing, in your opinion, are we witnessing the easing into the rapidly approaching World War III on a global basis?
We could very well be on that threshold that you're talking about, but I'm looking for the Lord to come in the air anytime.
Amen.
How he deals with Israel, that's his chosen people. They say he's the apple of his eye. And
that's
we as children, we have a relationship with Israel, but I tell you, I'm looking for him to come. If you're not looking, you're not going to see him when he gets here, and it's going to be rough on the people that are left here.
Yes.
And the United States has no business telling Benjamin Netanyahu how to defend his country. We can't even take care of our own. We need to clean up our doorsteps.
Amen. Brother, you're exactly right. Thank you so much for your calling, and God bless you today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, in the close of this broadcast today, what's taking place in the nation of Israel. The entire Middle East is on fire. The entire Middle East is in a conflagration that you can't back away from. The entire conflagration that we see taking place in the Middle East today is simply a little tidbit, a little touch, a little indicator of where we're going, and a global conflagration that leads into, ultimately, the Battle of Armageddon, which wraps up this old world. But ladies and gentlemen, the good news is that if you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, you won't be in this major conflagration that's called the Battle of Armageddon. You won't be in the final battle that's called the war with Russia in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Because ladies and gentlemen, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, the sudden seizure, the snatching out of the bride of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, are you ready? Have you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? I'm looking at a headline that says, Pentagon worries Israel is close to launching a ground war in Lebanon. Another headline, Hezbollah strikes Nazareth in the rocket attacks, fires back, threatening countless holy places in the Middle East. Another headline, U.S. airstrikes killed 37 militants. Another headline, Middle East on the brink, Israeli tanks mass at the border with Lebanon amid fears of imminent ground invasion. President Joe Biden was asked just yesterday, as he was about to get on a flight, are we entering into a world war through what's taking place in the Middle East? He just simply said, I hope not. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the hand of God that's taking place on a global, international basis, and recognize that God is still on the throne, that God is still in control, that God is still sovereign. Need to pray, seek His face, ask Him to heal our land. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in St. Augustine at 91.9.
For centuries, a cord with a lead weight on one end called a plumb line has been used to determine if something is straight and true. For centuries,